Hello, my Onironauts. Welcome to episode 2. My podcast just deleted. I already recorded this once, not to mention all of the outtakes. I wonder if there are any podcasts out there that have blooper reels at the end. I don't even know if you can call it a blooper, if it's just audio and not video. I think you could, but maybe it doesn't translate as well. Anyways, I won't be doing that because my outtakes are shit. So I'm having a bit of a hard time concentrating because it is really warm. I have my air conditioner off. It's one of those wall units. And it sounds like a beast. And I'm not going to risk telling my landlord because it might get replaced with something even shittier than what I have. If you know what I'm talking about. If you're a renter, rent your life. So yeah, it would terrify a small child. But I'm drenched in sweat. Like the back of my shirt's clinging. It's, yeah, just sweat everywhere. But it's like a free sauna, right? Releasing all those toxins while I sip my mugwort sun tea, which I'm going to teach you guys to make right now. And you can use the sun tea recipe for any tea. Ever since I started making sun tea this summer, I've been getting a little addicted to trying different teas. Next week, I might do reviews on some sleepy time tea I got. We'll see. Maybe I'll come up with something better by then. But back to the mugwort tea. I learned about mugwort, which is an herb, when I went on a hike. I used to live on the Central Coast in California here in the United States. And there was this really neat hike. It was the Point San Luis Lighthouse hike. And they still have it. It's $5 right now. I don't remember if I paid or not, but it's $5. And it's really cool. It's docent-led. And they teach you about all the native flowers and cool herbs like mugwort. And you go up to this lighthouse. There was actually a couple there where we broke up into smaller groups because it's a very tiny lighthouse. And he went up there and proposed to her. Although she didn't seem that happy about it, which was really sad. That should be a really joyful moment for you. And I just sensed an overwhelming sadness from her. So I don't know, maybe she's about to leave his ass, or he took too long to do it, or who knows, but I hope things are better for her. So mugwort, I'm just going to read off some information I found in the internet, the interweb that I wanted to share with you guys. Mugwort's generic name is from that of the Greek moon goddess Artemis, a patron of women, which ties into the next fact on here. Mugwort has long been considered an herbal ally for women with particular benefit in regulating the menstrual cycle and easing the transition to menopause, because your menstrual cycle is tied to the moon. And so that, I don't know, I thought it was cool the two went together. And what it's used for, some of the magic, its reputed ability to induce prophetic and vivid dreams when it's the herb is placed near the bed or under the sleeper's pillow. And that's what I found out on this hike. After he told me that, I ran home, went on Amazon, and ordered a big old bag of dried mugwort. And I took it out of the box, but I left it in the bag. And let me tell you, it works. My dreams were off the hook vivid. So check out Amazon. Consult with a doctor if you're on any medication. The tea I got, which I also ordered on Amazon, the brand is Buddha Teas, and it's just mugwort tea. It does have a warning on the back. Consult with a healthcare provider prior to use if you're currently pregnant, nursing, taking medication, or if you have a medical condition. So check that out. We don't want anyone getting hurt over some mugwort, over some vivid dreams. We can, yeah, figure something else out. And then, while I am not a pagan, I thought this was a really cool tradition for summer solstice celebrations. They would wear a garland or belt of mugwort around them while dancing around a fire during summer solstice celebrations, and then the mugwort's thrown into the fire to ensure continued protection throughout the coming year. I thought that was a neat little tradition. And like I said, people cook with it and all kinds of stuff. Google it. It's a really cool herb. So the sun tea, I use a mason jar. I've been using 3-pint mason jars. Fill it with water It depends how strong you like your tea, how strong or weak. I put 6 tea bags in mine and then I stick it out so it's filled with water, the tea bags. Put it out in the sun 5 to 6 hours and then I throw mine right in the fridge. If you wanted to sweeten yours, I would recommend sweetening it before you put it in the fridge so the sugar can dissolve and it's not all grainy. And then I just drink mine straight out of the jar. You could pour it over ice, and if you don't live alone or just with parakeets like myself, you could, pour it into a nice glass over ice. But I need a refill because, like I said, I already recorded this once and I already drank all of it. So let me pour some in. And it says it has a peppery taste. It describes it as savory tea with pleasant notes of pepper. And if you don't like the flavor, if you don't like tea, you're probably not going to like it. But if you like tea and you don't care for the flavor, ooh, hear that? Oh, that could sound like I'm taking a piss, though. That's just me pouring some tea, some mugwort sun tea. Now I got all sidetracked. Oh yeah, so if you don't like the taste of it, you can throw in some other tea in there. Maybe some peppermint tea. That would really hide the flavor. I actually threw some sleepy time tea in with mine and mixed the two. Not that I probably wouldn't mind the flavor at all. I do think it smells pretty mild, so the flavor is probably pretty mild. I'm gonna have a sip 1 second. Oh, it feels so good. My throat's all scratchy and yeah. So if you want to try that, like I said, you can try other teas in there. If you don't want to do the mugwort, you could do the sleepy time, which one of the ones I got, the sleepy time, that had a warning too, because I think the valerian root in it, which I read is good for anxiety. So I've actually been having a little cup of that each day because my anxiety is kind of hasn't been so nice to me lately. So that's our Stardust Sprinkling segment. I'm gonna come up with a different name for that. I really don't like that segment. If you have a suggestion though for a name for the segment where it's dream enhancement advice, I might. When I ordered this tea, they had really cool dream enhancing products on there on Amazon. So maybe I'll do a review or a tip or something, but please let me know if you have a better name suggestion for that segment. Email is onironautodyssey@gmail.com, which I'll try to check frequently. I didn't get any voicemails yet. The Anchor app lets you leave voicemails, although I'm a little weirded out by it still, but feel free to leave one or email me. And if you do email me, let me know if it's okay to share or not, because if you want total confidentiality, I can keep that for you. But if you don't mind me sharing, I'll go ahead and share that in the episode. If anyone's listening, it says some people have listened, but I don't know how far in they have to listen before they click off. So maybe, yeah, right after I announce what episode it is, they're like, peace. Which I'm not gonna lie, there's I it probably takes me 20 to 30 seconds before I click out. And that's harsh. Like, a lot of podcasters are amateurs, but some people, because I've been researching this, there are people out there that is their full-time job, 40 hours a week creating podcasts. I mean, that's intense. And I'm sure theirs is much better put together than mine, and it's edited and has music and they sound professional and they use the right words. Last episode, I meant to say cliche, not stereotypical. And Michael Myers is in Halloween, Jason is Friday the 13th. So I know these things, but when I'm sleepy and there's no air conditioning and it's muggy and it's like the 20 millionth take, I'm gonna make mistakes. So I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm far from perfect. Hey, if you want to feel better about yourself, go ahead and tune in. So on to the book. I checked it out for you guys, and for the audiobook, I didn't see this exact book on audible.com, but I did see there were two of Stephen LaBerge's books on here, Induced Lucid Dreaming, and then the other one's Controlling Your Dreams. So if you want to check those out, or you can order the book. I know some people just don't have time to sit down and read a book, so they prefer the audiobooks. check that out, because I mean there's a lot more information than I'm sharing with you guys. It's a lot. It's like information overload. That's why I said I'm reading it and trying to process and review it and then tell you guys about it so it sticks with me. So we're going to get back into chapter 2, which is the segment we're going to go over today. We're not going to finish chapter 2. It's a long chapter. The segment we're going to do is concerns about lucid dreaming, questions, and answers. So there are 10 questions, and the first one is, might lucid dreaming be dangerous for some people? And they say for the majority of people, they're positive experiences. Some of them, there might be nightmares or whatever, but like I said last time, lucid dreaming to me, I'd be a lot less concerned about that than a dream, because in the lucid dream, if shit start getting weird, you have some control over it. You can put an end to it or transform it into something positive. I actually, today, I went on YouTube and I looked up Stephen LaBerge and I was listening to one of his interviews. And I haven't, and this might be in the book and I haven't gotten there yet, but just if you're lucid dreaming and you're having negative encounters in your dream, he said that you should embrace everything in your dream. Because everything needs love. He's very like, yeah, check him out. He's on YouTube. Those are free if you don't want to get the Audible book. So, yeah, back to question one. They said, the majority of people, it's a good experience. But some people might find it disturbing. A lot of people, they find comfort in, this is what it is. And, you know, this is how life is. And they don't really want to go beyond that. And the dream world is far, far from this reality. And that's why a lot of people love it so much. But for some people, they might not like that so much. And they do say, if after you read the first 6 chapters of the book and you're like, I'm not sure, probably not for you. So hopefully it is. But if it's not, that's okay. That's fine. Question 2. I'm afraid that if I learn to induce lucid dreams, all my dreams will become lucid. Then what will I do? And he said, you have to try and lucid dream. And this guy, he said he's had like 10, oh, more than 1,000 lucid dreams over a decade of experience. And that's at this point in his life when this was written. And he says that I rarely have more than a few per month unless I have a conscious desire to have more. So you have to want to have the lucid dreams. And I would think if you're lucid dreaming and you don't want to have a lucid dream, you can peace out and wake up or, you know, get out of that dream and teach yourself to lucid, I don't know. I'm not recording this again. I'm not doing it again. It didn't even save last time. I was like, okay, final take. Yes, bedtime. Time to get my dream on. No, back again. Sorry. Now I know why people complain when I'm listening to podcasts. They're like, take 2. I get it now. I totally get it. So much respect for podcasters out there. Question 3. Since I believe that dreams are messages from the unconscious mind, I am afraid that consciously controlling my dreams would interfere with this important process and to deprive me of the benefits of dream interpretation. So they say that you can interpret your lucid dreams just as much as you can interpret your regular dreams. It's not going to affect it. They say that you should be, don't be overly conscious when you're dreaming. Just like you wouldn't want to be overly conscious when you're awake. Self-consciousness does not help anybody. Trust me. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be making so many mistakes on here. I'm just on my kitchen floor, on a yoga mat, sipping my mugwort tea, alone in a hot human kitchen, not talking to anyone. There's probably not anyone listening to this but myself to review it and criticize myself. And still, I'm so self-conscious over it. I'm having another sip. It's good. It's so good. Okay. Question 4. Sometimes in lucid dreams, I encounter situations of otherworldliness accompanied by feelings, and this is a long question, get ready, by feelings of presence of great power energy. At these times, my consciousness expands far beyond anything I have experienced in waking life, so that the experience seems much more real than the reality I know, and I become terrified. I cannot continue these dreams for fear that I will never awaken from them, since the experience seems so far out of the realm of waking existence. What would happen if I was unable to awaken myself from these lucid dreams? Would I die or go mad? And they say, it's basically, it's just fear of the unknown. And there's no evidence that you can do damage to yourself when you're lucid dreaming. Yeah, when you have a shitty dream, your day might not be as great as if you woke up remembering a really amazing dream. But it's not going to do any serious damage to you, except just, you know, put a cloud over your head for the day or the first part of the day. And this part's not comforting to me. They say, as intense as a dream might be, it can't last any longer than the natural course of REM periods, at most an hour or so. I don't want to be trapped in some nightmare for an hour. That shit sounds horrible, and that's probably why when you try to recall your dreams, it's much more difficult, and that memories, it kind of floats away a lot quicker than a memory in life. It's probably a protection thing, because can you imagine if I'm right now in my head thinking of like my top three most terrifying nightmares, and if that lasted an hour? No, thank you. I'd probably never do this again and do whatever I could to not dream anymore. But that's what they say, you know, can't last more than an hour, so at least there's an end in sight, I guess. Question 5. They say that if you die in your dream, you really will die. Is this true? And first sentence to answer this question, dead on, pun intended, if it were true, how would anybody know? Because they'd be dead. And I feel like I've had a dream before where I did die in my dream. And I'm still alive, I think. If this is actually even real. Who knows? So, okay. Brain fart. The heat. It's suffocating. It really is suffocating. People pay money to be in this heat. I don't get it. I don't like the feeling. Anyways, back to this. So would anybody know? And you hear those stories where someone died and then they were reborn again. I'm wondering if any of them, when they died the first time, they died in their dream. I wonder if they have any. I'm sure there's got to be some evidence out there, because everyone wants all the details on that, because that's a question everyone wants to know. What happens when you die? And everyone has their own beliefs on that, and they're all different, and everyone's entitled to their own beliefs and religion, and yeah, so you won't know till you know, though. Number 6. If I use my lucidity in a dream to manipulate and dominate the other dream characters and magically alter the dream environment, won't I be making a habit of behavior that is not likely to benefit me in my waking life? So for an unassertive person, someone who feels like they don't have a lot of control, someone that feels like they're not being heard maybe, for them to go into a dream world and dominate everybody else, it's probably a little bit healthy for them. And honestly, if you're a dick in real life, you're probably a dick in your dreams, and you wouldn't even have a concern that it would affect your waking life, that you would treat people in such a way. And this reminds me of that episode. If you guys have not seen Black Mirror on Netflix, so good. Go watch it now. Well, not now. Maybe wait until this is over. Because thank you for listening. But yeah, that episode of Black Mirror, the first episode of the most recent season, where he has his own little world and he can control it. But he's an ass in real life and he's an ass in his dreams. So don't worry. If you're a good person, you're a good person. It's not going to turn you into some awful human being. Question 7. Oh, before question 7, I want to mention the show The Sinner. I think that's what it's called, The Sinner. Oh my gosh. I promised myself I would do this podcast every week, but I started binge watching it yesterday, and I honestly just wanted to keep watching it. I can't stop. It's so good. So if you need some shows to binge watch, but you've probably already watched these because most people have, but Black Mirror and The Sinner, really good stuff. Question 7. Won't all these efforts and exercises for becoming lucid lead to loss of sleep? And won't I feel more tired after being awake in my dreams? Is it worth sacrificing my alertness in the daytime just to have more lucid dreams? And they say dreaming lucidly is usually just as restful as dreaming non-lucidly. Although, like I mentioned, if you have a bad dream experience and you wake up remembering it, it can put a damper on your day. But if you have a good dream, it can kind of perk you up and you're excited to get up and you have, that dream to go back to when maybe your day's not going so great. But hopefully your day is going very well right now. It also says that you should work on lucid dreaming when you have the time and energy to put into it. So if you just had a baby, probably not the best time to do your lucid dream training and learn how to lucid dream. You need all the energy to focus on your child, and you need a good night's rest and not to be messing around with this stuff. It's just not the best time to do it, which kind of leads into the next question. I'm afraid that I may not have what it takes to have lucid dreams. What if, after doing all of the exercises you suggest and devoting a lot of time to it, I still can't learn to have lucid dreams? If I put all that time into it and don't get any results, I will feel like a failure. And basically, this person, they're putting way too much pressure on themselves. And it's like with anything in your waking life, too. Anything you try to do too hard is not going to be done well. So step away from it for a little while, they say a few days to a few weeks, and then go try again and don't try so hard. And don't set yourself up for failure, like the last question, if you're not getting enough sleep or you don't have time to devote to attempting the lucid dreaming, don't set yourself up for failure. Question 9. We're almost there. Two more questions. Question 9. Lucid dreams are so exciting and feel so good that my real life pales by comparison. Isn't it possible to get addicted to them and not to wish to do anything else? Which I could see that happening with someone. I went through a period in my teens where I just slept all the time. And I mean, there was more to it than that, but it can be kind of addicting because things are kind of shitty in your real life. It's a nice place to go, but use that dream time to learn and grow and apply that. And that's what they're saying here. Whatever you're enjoying more in your dreams, try to get that out of your real life too. So if you're going on these amazing adventures, go on some amazing adventures in your waking life. There's so many things to go and do. I like being out in nature, and it's been hard for me because when I used to live on the coast, I could go hiking, drive 10 minutes, go on a really populated hike and go alone, and I'd feel fairly safe, or I could go to the beach, to the ocean, and now I'm kind of trapped in it's like a half city, half country town in the valley, and you have to drive quite a bit to get anywhere. It's good for weekends, it's great for weekends, but to go after work and escape, there isn't really anywhere to go and do that. But try, basically, going back to the question, whatever it is you're enjoying in your dreams, try to get that out of your waking life, because this life, it truly is just as magical. The waking dream, it's altered, and it's kind of one big trip, and you're seeing things you've never seen before, lighting, landscapes, dream figures that that's probably where people come up with half the stuff they do in cartoons and things, because that, and I had kind of a cartoony dream the other night. I'll get into my Mr. Sandman segment after this. But yeah, try to live both lives. Live your dream life and live your waking life equally as passionately. I don't think that was quite the right way to say that. Question 10. I'm currently undergoing psychotherapy. Is it okay for me to try lucid dreaming? Can it assist in my therapy? And they say if you're in psychotherapy and you want to experiment with lucid dreaming, you need to let your therapist know and see what they say about it. But then they also say, they say if they don't agree with it, the psychotherapist, if they don't agree with it and you still want to lose a dream, go see another therapist. Which, if your therapist is working for you, and because it's not, I've been to therapy before, and it's, you're really just opening yourself up to someone, and it is not an easy task. And if you find someone that you work really well with, stick with them. The lucid dreaming to me would not be worth it. And I feel like a good therapist, if they tell you no, they're telling you no for a reason. So, but like they say, you can go see another one. So that's where I'm going to cut off the book for today. Like I said, chapter two is very long. But next week, we're going to work on recalling dreams, which I'm going to talk about a little bit, because it does talk about a dream journal and all of that, for my Mr. Sandman segment. So I've started recording my dreams steadily, and I'm not gonna lie to you guys, there are a couple days missing entries because I was lazy. I know I dreamt, but I didn't write them down right away, and I told myself, oh, I'll remember. I went over it in my head. And it's so weird because it's something I repeated to myself in my mind, but it just kind of floats away. And so, which next chapter, they do mention that waking memories, those stick with you, and then the dream memories, they don't. You gotta catch them while they're there. So, wake up, review your dream, and write that down. So, there were a couple nights where I reviewed it, and I know I dreamt, but I didn't write it down. But one of the dreams I'm going to share, it's a little bit, I always say it's personal. This whole thing feels personal. Honestly, there's a part of me where I'm like, I just want to, I'm going to delete the first episode. I'm not doing this anymore. But whatever, life's short, so I'm going to put it out there. And if one person's enjoying it, I know people say that. If one person's touched by this, if one person's listening, then thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can be alone together. So the dream I had, I was on top of this really tall rectangular box, like kind of cartoony, where it tapered at the end. So it was really high up, and it was just enough room to fit my body, and it kept teetering back and forth, like when you're in a restaurant and the chair leg, the table leg's a little bit shorter than the rest of them, and it just keeps wobbling back and forth steadily. It was doing that, and I was really high up, and I wasn't afraid, but I just wanted to stop. I wanted to stop and be stable and steady. And a guy approached and walked up, and I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I was like, oh, he's gonna profess his love for me. I don't know why I thought that, but I was like, okay, this is the guy. This is a good guy. I got a really good vibe from him. But all I wanted him to do was grab that box. I knew if he'd just reach out, it wouldn't take any effort. Just reach out and hold it, and it would stop. And I couldn't communicate that to him, and it didn't stop. And I couldn't hear what he was saying. And I think it's basically, I've been taking a break from dating, like no texting, nothing, for almost a year now. It's been one of the best things I've ever done. It gets easier if you're trying to be single for a little while. At first, it might be rough. But it's good. It's healthy. I know life's short, and I'm at an age where it's like, okay, if you want kids, you need to have them now. And you're like, well, I haven't met anyone yet, and I have to know them for a while if I want to have kids. And I honestly don't know if I want to. I'm about to be an auntie, though. That's my gratitude for the week. I'm gonna be an aunt next month. She's due, which is really exciting. I don't have any nieces or nephews, so I'm gonna start crying. I'm really excited about it. But that's my gratitude. Back to the dream and my life situation. But I think basically my interpretation of it was, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to start dating yet, and I gotta get stable and all the things I need to work on. And no one else can provide that for me but me. And so something good might come along, but unless I'm ready to go, and I'll always be growing and changing and working on myself, but I have to get to like a certain level of love for myself before I'm going to be able to let someone in and have a good relationship. So moving on from that super personal tidbit to dream symbol. I can't remember what they call them. Something like dream symbols, things that you see in your dreams that make you realize that you're lucid dreaming. Sorry, tea break. Sorry, my throat is really, really sore. I don't know why. So what I've been noticing in my dreams is nature. And it's like not nature here. So for example, last night I had a dream where I was at my parents, but not really in the backyard, but it wasn't really their backyard. And there were these massive flowers. They looked like roses or camellias. Like the buds were probably a foot in diameter or bigger. And they were a pale pink. And some of them were growing naturally out of the ground. Some of them were in pots, but the pots they were in were way too small for the flowers. And it was just like one flower stem in the pot. And then I found a big black garbage bag with a few of the flowers beheaded, like the buds of the flowers. And they weren't dying, but I was like, I was trying to find the perfect flower, which there is no perfect flower. But so I was just going from flower to flower to flower, and I never found the right flowers to pick and bring inside. But those flowers alerted me to the fact that, okay, this is, and I didn't become lucid in the dream, but I'm like, okay, I'm dreaming, but it didn't go any further than that. But those flowers don't exist in my waking life. Another cool dream I had with nature that doesn't exist in my waking life, it was the scenery. It was like a hill cliff hybrid. So like a really sharp cliff, but the sides were earth, like dirt, and then topped with grass. And then hanging down from there was this giant earth swing. So to describe this, it would be like if a giant reached down and ripped out a chunk of earth and attached some rope to it. And it was super dangerous. And I don't even know how he rigged that, but there's a man up there with like a baby or a toddler swinging. And it was so stressful because I'm like, okay, this isn't put together very well. That baby's going to fall. It's not safe. And it ended up falling, but it kind of transitioned from realistic, I mean, dream realistic, to cartoony, and the baby fell off, but it wasn't scary. It was almost like a cartoon baby. And then the other nature dream I had, I was looking out at a beach that was really crowded, and then all of a sudden I was on the beach, but it was totally abandoned, except I was with a couple other people. And the lighting, which I have this lighting a lot in my dreams, it's unlike any lighting here. And there's a lot of different natural light. Like we have moonlight and sunrise and sunsets with pinks and just crazy, like when the clouds cover, when the clouds aren't there. And this is like an amber light almost, like a hazy amber. And the beach itself too was unlike any beach I've been on, that, and it probably doesn't exist, because trust me, I've looked at the most beautiful places in the world on Pinterest, and I've never seen any beach like that. So I think ways to alert myself of the lucid dream, nature and the lighting, and when it gets a little cartoony. So I think I'm going to close this out. I'm a little over 30 minutes. Hopefully this uploads, because the last one deleted and that happened last week too. And sorry to complain about it. It's frustrating. So if you want to send a voicemail or email, I don't know if I mentioned I started an Instagram, but there isn't anything on there, but I'll put stuff on there. Maybe links to the book and the tea and the recipe on there. Have a good night or day or wherever you're at in your time of day. Oh, the birds are chirping. Starlight and Starbright, my two parakeets. I don't know if you can hear them in the background. All of a sudden, they started chit-chatting. I would get up and go over there, but they get really shy. And they'll probably be quiet if I go over there. I think they're saying bye to you guys. They're saying sweet lucid dreams or regular dreams to you guys. Thank you again and goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.